This is Taking Care in Business, a podcast that dives into the topic of corporate social responsibility from many different perspectives. Host Vicky Bolson is the founder and CEO of Bolson Group, a unified marketing company located in Indianapolis. Bolson Group is the first B Corp certified company in Indiana, but Vicky understands that you don't have to be certified in corporate social responsibility in order to use business as a force for good. Join Vicky as she talks about why it's always worthwhile to take care in business.
Hey, Sawyer, how are you?
Oh, not too bad. Hanging in there.
You know? Yesterday I was on pins and needles for our first drop.
Yeah, but it went good.
It went well.
Yeah, it did.
So yeah. I mean, there were a couple little tiny kinks that were working out, but for the most part, it was easy peasy.
Oh, yeah. So
yeah. So thank you.
Sailing eventually.
So. Yeah, well, thank you so much for everything. I know it's been your, trying to juggle everything you have going on and fit this in there. And you did such a great job. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the year with our podcast here. So, but the other thing that's really cool is just how thankful I am for our two sponsors, Selflessly, that sponsors our Taking Care in Community segment, has been phenomenal and, helping out when needed. And for those of you who don't know, they are a company that uses technology to radically transform corporate cultures and communities. And they're one of their CEOs. Well, their CEO, one of their co-founders, is going to be a guest host in some future episodes, which I'm super excited about. And then our other sponsor is Charge. And they go by Charge, but they're a sponsorship company. And they're the leading source of sponsorship advice for brands and properties. And their founder, Ken Unger, is also going to be a guest host on some future episodes. So I'm looking forward to that. But let's get to our guest today. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I'm so happy to see your face because it's been a while. Yeah. Tammy Butler Robinson, and I just love you. You are someone, big hearts. I met you in a women's professional organization called Women's President's Organization a few years ago. And when I met her, I was just so unlike immediately because she's so genuine and warm and full of spirit and energy. And then likewise, in getting to know her, I was just so impressed by the company that she is a managing partner with and her just general concern for the community and specifically the well-being of her employees. So like I said, she's a partner at a company called Engaging Solutions. And that is a management consulting firm that provides tailored solutions for evolving businesses in the areas of finances, community engagement, customer relations, control systems. So in a nutshell, they engage with their clients to find effective solutions for specific business challenges. So I plan to ask Tammy all about this, their launch more than 15 years ago, and how they've evolved, and they've won so many awards and accolades along the way. And what's really cool is that these awards, when you look at them, they come from internal and external stakeholders. And they're all the ones that to me really matter to show their excellence. And then last, I do want to talk to Tammy about a new venture that I've not had a chance to talk to her about, which is her podcast. So welcome, Tammy.
Thank you for having me, Vicky. And it's so good to be able to see you, hear you. Again, I've missed your energy too. I think there were times when we would be in WPO and it would be us kind of having our own sessions.
I know. All the sidebar conversations.
Yes.
Well, and I've been blessed to come to your company too. And, see all the smiling faces there, which is... nice to see. You hope to see smiling faces when you go to people's company, and you could just tell that they all just adore you, which how could they not? But tell a little bit about how you got started, because I know your background really contributed to the launch of Engaging Solutions.
So Engaging Solutions started, as you said, 16 years ago. It's like so interesting. Like this month, we're sweet 16, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it really started, I will have to say that Benita Moore was the kind of visionary. We didn't have name yet or anything, but administration was changing within state government. And she was like, you know, we should launch, we should go out on our own. And she kind of had that that gut feeling to do it, and then started identifying people, you know, that she liked within state government. And I was the only one that was not politically appointed. And so she brought, identified Debbie Simmons Wilson, and then Charles Johnson, myself. We started having conversations and decided that on a day off from the state, which was Martin Luther King Day, that we would sit down around the table. We had some pre-conversations with Charles. So he kind of tells the story a little bit differently, because we had these pre-conversations with Charles. And I think he was like, look, I got two kids in college. I don't know if you guys are gonna, so I'm gonna, you know, take this alternate job offer that they're giving me here in state government. He said the next thing he knew, he opened the IBJ and it was like, three women have founded Engaging Solutions.
That's good.
But it did happen really fast. I mean, it's like we sat there that day, we all wrote our capital checks out, and Benita, because she's an accountant auditor, she filed the paperwork right there with all the appropriate entities. And then we started brainstorming, like, what, you know, what services we were going to bring, you know, our name, everything. And then we met with a couple advisors once we kind of had, you know, all the official paperwork done. And when we met with those advisors, they said, you know, you need an office. Like, you can't, you know, go get you an office. Like, now no one would probably say that to anybody starting a business, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They would just say, just clean your background and make sure that you have Zoom or meetings or something like that. So we started in Indiana Black Expo, allowed us to have space at a very discounted rate in their building, and then also became a client for us. And I still continued to work because I had, you know, two children and everything. And so I would work and then do nights at Benita's house. And so her daughter will say at 3 a.m., I want to throw a shoe or something at the wall because Miss Tammy and my mom are in there laughing. And, you know, she was a high school student or maybe even middle school at that time, right? And so we're in there like brainstorming and on caffeine because we're still up, you know, trying to do this work and make it happen. But, you know, eventually, well, you know, when you first start in business, you have everything that any one partner or one person has ever done. And then you put it on your, here's the services that I can provide. So now 16 years later, we have scaled that down. And there are five core services that we have, and it's fiscal management and accountability, compliance monitoring, supplier diversity, stakeholder engagement, and contact center. And since that time, we've grown from three partners. Charles came in 2 years later as a partner. And so now,
stand it.
Right, exactly. No, he was like, their balance sheets don't look too bad now.
Yeah, there you go.
So he came in 2 years later to help us grow our audit sector section of the firm. And so we now have, you know, four partners, over 130 employees, and have been really humbled to be acknowledged by our customers and our employees for the awards that we have received. We started out only in Indiana. And we've now grown to, I love it. Hi.
Saying hi to my dog that just popped up.
Yes.
Sorry for the interruption.
Right.
She's very interested in what you're saying, Tim.
Yes, exactly. have 8 states in which we're certified as a diverse supplier and then we started what is called the ES Cares, which is where we agreed to give back 10% of our net proceeds and time, talent, or treasure to the community, and something that we're really committed to. Some people will say it's a tithe that we give back, but that's very important for us because created this business because we wanted to leave a legacy for our children and a footprint in the community. And that's our why.
I love that you called it a tithe.
Yeah,
that's good. That's a good segue to talking about your podcast, but we're going to do that later because okay. I want to talk about So, you know, like you said, you know, the stakeholders, the employees and your clients are the ones that are recognizing you for the good work that you do. How do you feel besides being told by these people that you think you're doing a good job, what do you personally think is what's making this company work?
It's the people.
Yeah.
We have been very fortunate to have the right people, and we don't get it right all the time. So let me put that there.
Right. It's hard to get it right all the time.
Yeah. You know, so we've had some lessons learned along the way, but the collective talent and energy and passion of the individuals that have joined us in this journey is just amazing. Because you don't really expect to find people that will work as hard as the owners, and oftentimes don't even have that expectation, right? And so when you are able to find individuals that are part of our leadership, and we're getting emails at the time that we're up and not expecting other people to be up, but because of their commitment to see it through, and then the transformation of culture not being just placed within the partners, but it has been embraced, you know, throughout the organization. And so people pick up and say what we always wanted, you know, it's a family affair, that they feel connected, that they're glad that they're here. And, you know, and then there's some folks that say, hey, I don't know, your standards, we're not gonna meet those metrics. And that's okay too, because at least they have identified what they're accountable for, at the end of the day. And so it is the people. And when I see, you know, individuals, particularly our leadership team, Christina Sparks, who is our contact center director, there are times when she has been wrapping gifts at Christmas, and because we will identify people within our organization that just have had a hard time and aren't prepared for that season, and we don't want their children to go without. And so I will go into her office and it is filled with toys, you know, that have to be, you know, gift wrapped, and all, you know, employees are bringing in and donating and saying, hey, I bought too much on my end or whatever. And then she will drive them around for people that can't come and pick them up. And so I just think there's something very, very special about that level of commitment that really should be embraced in work, but goes beyond what you ask them to do in the job description. And very similar to James, you know, in regards to the work that he did, you know, when Ronnie, his car wasn't working, he was almost on the fringe because of the fact that he didn't have the vehicle and had fines and trying to figure out how he was going to get back and forth to work. And James, you know, fixed his car at no cost. And then the company came together and said, this is an excellent employee. We're going to make sure, what does it take for him to have that license? And you know, so you invest in your employees and you see a return on your investment as it relates to your people. So for us, I would say it's our people, because then that drives, you know, people usually say people, process, technology. Well, without the people, there's no one to design the process and no one to operate the technology. So it all comes together.
Well, and I'm sure that's why that everybody, you know, seems so happy and is, you know, happy to be there. That was one of the things that I really enjoyed talking about with you, was your concern for the team. I mean, you truly care about the people that you work with. I have a philosophy that I want everybody to be better when they leave Bolson Group.
Yes.
I don't mean just professionally, I mean personally too. And we have a lot less employees than you do. I mean, you have like 100 or so that you're.
Yeah, 130. Yeah, 130. And we, you know, because sometimes we have short-term projects, so it can go, but 130 is usually about where we are. We've been as high as over 200 at one point, and then depending on how projects, you know, the ebbs and flows.
That's like a family reunion every day.
Yeah, and we actually do have a family reunion prior to COVID in person. And so we would meet at the Garrison Center over there at Fort Benjamin and have an all employee, everybody come off, and it's an all employee retreat that would happen. And we'd have a soul food dinner and just have a lot of fun. The employees come up with all the games because we have an employee engagement committee. And so they would plan the retreat along with our HR director and invite in speakers. And so we do business, but then also have a whole lot of fun because a lot of our teams don't get to see each other all the time because we have people across the state and then have had people in the 8 states. So like Pennsylvania and other places. And so it's really nice when we can bring everyone together and they kind of get to put an email name with a face in the light.
Oh gosh, that's true because you are in the 8 states.
Yeah, and a lot of the work we get to do from here, Pennsylvania's been a little different, and then Illinois, we have people actually in Illinois too.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Wow. What do you think has really changed with the pandemic and made, you know, has that made things even more difficult to, you know, engage with your employees? And what things have you put into place because of that?
Yeah, so definitely the pandemic, because we are a touchy-feely organization, right? So anytime we can have some food delivered and everybody just take a, you know, a quick break and, you know, celebrate a birthday, we make it happen. So it's really changed. Well, I would say first that, you know, you have those disaster recovery plans and business resiliency plans, and you get, you know, we get tested quite a bit because we work in the healthcare space, which is a very compliant space. About 84% of our work is in healthcare. And we had to like pull those plans out.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, Billy, who's our head of IT, and Jan, who's our compliance director. All right, here we go. Flip the switch on this plan. And so moving everyone home. And so that was just really, really different for us, particularly with our call center, because we have monitors, you know, you saw when you were there, big TV screens that are up so we can see if people are in after call work and not, you know, where they need to be. And so it was very different trying to monitor people remotely and be connected to them, because there is that energy that drives the production that happens across all of our teams. And so we had to buy some additional performance software to be able to monitor what's happening on screens and things because we're not present. Making sure that people with internet connectivity, we had to kind of supplement that because we needed, you know, we can't have calls dropping and the like. We also had to bring in a mental health counselor because our people are engagement people and they're now in a quarantine. They're used to being in the field doing, like, we have a team of about 40 certified health workers that help people overcome barriers. And that team is also made up of certified recovery specialists. So people that have formerly had an addiction issue and now are in a place to be a peer to someone else to overcome that. And wow. So being in isolation can be triggers, you know, for individuals at the same time. And if you were hired to, you know, and now you're like, I need to be connecting with people. This is not a time. And they had to go to telephonic from field, and the whole, you know, that momentum of that team drastically changed. And so there was a lot of things we had to do to help them adjust, to build momentum in a different way, let them know they were still adding value, how they could be just as effective or effective on telephone versus being in person. So we brought in a mental health specialist, and she was just fantastic, Commish Nunley.
Wow.
Healing Hidden Hurts. And what she did is she held sessions, and we're still going through them with each various team, of how to deal during the quarantine. And just giving tips and strategies and, you know, how to avoid getting into fear and how to control your thoughts, how to control. And so that is really helping the team. And so each of our teams and their managers are having individually, because every team is different and the manager knows those compositions. So that's how she's, you know, kind of doing touch points. We also started a return to work committee. And so they're working on everything that relates to return to work. So if, you know, once we do go back into our buildings, we already have the thermometers and we have the electronic one where you have to put your head to it we purchased from Van Osdale. They sell those. And so they've been a great partner with us in trying to make sure we had the right technology to check temperatures and lock our doors if your temperature's not right, which feels really weird, but that's what something you got to do. So now we're preparing while still knowing that it's probably going to be a while, but we'll be prepared when we do have to return for what we call the new normal and how we operate going forward. But, you know, the committee has done a great job. We have newsletters. We used to have newsletters for a while. And then because we were coming together so much and meeting people and their groups were sharing and we had the all in place. So now we've been very diligent about the consistency of the newsletter and that every department has a contribution to it. So people have that feeling of connection. And then there's the employee engagement committee has been expanded to include anyone that every department is reflected and is representing what they're doing. So here's a recipe for the day. Here's a joke. So we get jokes of the day. We get inspiration of the day. If anything religious goes out, you know, it's like, you don't have to read this. There's religious content. So no one's offended, but we're just, you know, trying everything that we can. And we have a resource portal. So if one of our team members, James Hansen, created what's called the Launchpad. And so it's like the central hub for people to be able to go to the newsletter, everything, and get information. So it's
an investment you've made. I mean, and I sometimes wonder, you know, I mean, I'm so isolated here at home. We have been working from home since day one, before, you know, the same day, pretty much everybody else was like, okay, go home and work from home and we'll see how it goes. Well, we never returned.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're a smaller team, but just that effort to keep everybody connected. And for such a large team, I wonder, like, when the Amazon delivery guy comes, like, how is Amazon keeping people connected? You know, like, you wonder, like, you know, and so it's great to hear some of the things you're doing, because I think our listeners will get ideas from it and definitely can relate.
Yeah, and it is, I'm telling you, it requires really being intentional and asking your team to give you ideas. So like Kim Garmany, who is one of the managers for one of our projects, she is just phenomenal in coming up with ideas. Like she didn't create it, but identified for all of us electronic birthday cards. Cause you know, we would always pass around for everybody to sign a birthday card. So she sent us the electronic where everybody can still sign a birthday card and it gets sent to someone and they feel and get the personal message they got before. And then she, for her team, drives to each of her team members' houses and drops off.
I love that.
She's like the gold star. So like I've done one trip of, you know, hand delivering Taylor's Bakery stuff around and I'm like, this is quite intense. Okay, so I got to really figure out a good way to do this and get a process for this.
That's super cool. That's super cool. You talked about how you have like the disclaimer when you're sending something out with the, this is religious content or whatever. So talk about this new podcast that you're doing. Like, how did this come to pass? And also make sure everybody understands what kind of a podcast it is.
Okay. So I'm a pastor and with my other hat. So I'm the pastor of, and I am, it brings me joy to be the pastor of the House of God Indianapolis. We're about three blocks east of the state fairgrounds, and we're just like a little cottage. You know, we can seat about 70 folks over there, and it's just in the heart of 46218. I have mostly single moms, but a lot of men that align with us as well. And we're connected. We have several partners that are there in that community, whether it's Edna Martin or Wheeler Boys and Girls Club and United Northeast Community Development Corporation. And so it's just been a blessing to be able to serve in that area. I'm a PK. So my brother's a pastor. He's now transitioned to other things with those skill sets, but was a pastor at Willow Creek in Heartland. And so he just, it's just in our blood, what we do. And so when I got that assignment after being in Fort Wayne for 11 years, we would go back and forth and pastor there, and then we're appointed here. And so then, you know, you're in a good rhythm, right? Things are going good. And then here comes COVID.
Yeah, geez.
And so, but you still have to connect, right? And so you're like, how? Because where we are really has a digital divide. And there's, you know, technology is not the first thing that comes to someone's mind where we're located. And so it was, what can we do to get to people in a very simple way to deliver a message of inspiration every Sunday? So we have a Text and Church app that we utilize, which is actually called Text and Church. And so I started out by just sending out, you know, scriptures and messages and words of encouragement and letting people know we were there for them. We started doing a food drop every Saturday. We're Pop Your Trunk. And then we partnered with Gleaners to have food. And then now we're partnering with Edna Martin so people could have food and everything. And so that became really important that people had food and they knew where resources were. And so we had everyone send to the Texan Church, if you found one resource, send it so it becomes a pool. And then it was like, okay, we're going kind of long and we still haven't really been able to have a full kind of, you know, solid message. And people were like, we want to hear, we need a full word. So I just kind of started thinking about, you know, how can we do it? And was talking to a friend and he said, what about a podcast? You know, he's like, I know what I would want to hear. And I was like, And my dad owned a radio station. So ask me why.
Wow.
WMCJ radio, AM 950 on your radio dial, right? And so I didn't even think about it. So of course my brother who does, you know, video and web and everything. So I call him and I'm like, what can I have this idea. Can you help me? And so he's like, yeah, download a recording app on your phone and then download Podbean. And I was like, oh, okay. And then what?
Well, then just go, girl.
And he was like, so take your sermon and say it into your phone. Like, oh, and I was like, okay, and then what? Because I am very linear. And he said, and then send me, because I'll do any editing that needs to occur. So he's my production guy.
Your Sawyer.
These are really good points in my sermon. He doesn't. So I'll get it back and he puts the music behind it and, you know, all of the stuff like that that make it a little bit, I guess, more palatable. And then helps to soften my voice because my dad never let me talk on the radio. So, because I don't have a radio voice. So my brother and sister were all able to be DJs. And so I could be there and do business stuff, but not, you know, I wasn't because I didn't have the right tone and stuff for radio.
Oh, you are awesome. And I mean, I was just listening to one this morning. I was listening to, I think you're so good. You just get going. You like really build. I mean, wow. It's like so awesome. It's very powerful.
Okay. Well, I thank you for that today because I'm always like, every time I log in, I like hear my dad like, okay, slow it down, do this, you know, so that kind of stuff. So anyway, we did our first one and it went and people started, you know, giving us comments, and we created a flyer. And I mean, it was just like homegrown. It just, and so then I think work got busy or something, you know, because, then we started, like, people were like, well, can we get on Zoom? Because a lot of the agencies, whether it was child services or whatever, started connecting with people that were within our neighborhood using technology. And so they became more familiar with it. So then they're like, can we have church on, you know? And I was like, oh, okay. So then we started, you know, having services. So we're every Sunday at 12:30 on Zoom. And then people can dial in by phone as well. And sometimes I use the same message that's for the podcast. And then sometimes, you know, just because you're with the people and you might know that they might need something different. And so the podcast is a lot more scripted and planned. I may do something different. But and now we have people that are joining us because we have sister churches throughout the United States that will pop in or they'll join the podcast. And so it's been fun. So yeah, a friend of mine, we kind of talked it through and he gave me some inspiration for it. And then my brother kind of just helped me, you know, polish it and produce it. So that's, wow. That started.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's, I see it on Instagram all the time. You pop up with your, you know, your photo. Yeah. And I was like, huh. And it was months ago that I, you know, I started tuning in. So wow. It was well, nice to go
I
ahead.
Two friends that will send me, and they're especially Derek, Derek Evans, they're twins, Eric and Derek. And so Derek, he lived right around the corner for me. And he's like, where's the podcast? I'm waiting for my dinner for today. I need the food. What are you doing over there? And I'm like, okay, I'm almost done with this proposal that I got to send in, but I'm going to record it. I promise.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, there was one, sorry, my dog's coming up here again. There was one night I was making dinner and I had it on, and Rose, my youngest, comes downstairs and I'm just in the kitchen stirring, you know, and she was like, Mom, what is going on? It was so good. But anyway, well, before I want to switch to a segment that we have every episode, and then I want to come back and have you tell everybody how they can tune in on the podcast, the sermon, find out info about Engaging Solutions. So we have a segment that we do. It's called Taking Care in Community, and it is sponsored by Selflessly, and they take nominations, we take nominations, and then we choose one. And this week I chose the nomination of Samantha Burke. She's a local Indianapolis gal. Do you know her by any chance, Tammy?
Don't know Samantha.
Okay. Well, she is the vice president of programming and development for Pass the Torch. Do you know Pass the Torch?
Pass the Torch. Yes, okay, I do. Okay. That is there, who is absolutely amazing. So I'm sure that Samantha is too then, because that team, the programming that they do is amazing. And the energy that you feel when you connect to their events is really, really good too.
I think it's fitting that I chose it mainly because we met in a professional organization, and this organization is a women's group that they connect women so that they can work on their career pathways with mentoring relationships and networking and different kinds of training. And I've been a part of it for, gosh, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now. I had some, I was a mentor for a couple of years, and then I took a break because I joined a board of something, but it was calling me back and I joined again. Wow. And so I actually just got assigned my newest mentee, and we're having our first Zoom call next week. And I just love it. If you are thinking about doing it, it's so fulfilling because I'm the mentor, but I get probably more out of it than the mentee.
Yes.
Just because of that, just finding out what it, you know, what's going on, what matters to them. And they give me advice way more than I probably give them.
Yes.
I'm just kind of wondering, Sawyer, do you have a mentor, or have you ever searched for a mentor? I just, you know, a lot of the people that are mentees in this group are people of your age.
I definitely have leveraged mentors before. And I would say that Benita and Debbie have been my mentor because, like I said, I'm the baby of the group, right? And I learned so much from them. There were times that I would show up and I thought I was really dressed, you know? You're like,
Oh gosh. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Well, girl, you are usually really dressed. So they must have gotten through to you.
So they've helped me quite a bit. And just, you know, and also in business negotiations, they have been exceptional and were, you know, exceptional, particularly when we first connected, and guiding, being an ear, being very transparent and giving real steps of, hey, here's what we would recommend that you do. And Charles is really good at that too. He'll just sometimes say, just listen, Tammy, that's all you need to do. Just listen. Okay, I got it.
That's so funny. I was wondering, Sawyer, if you have a mentor. You know, I mean, I know this Pass the Torch is for women, so you cannot join the group. However, I just think that it's such an important thing, and I wonder about you.
I wouldn't say like I have a like set in stone mentor through a program or anything, but through my time at school, I've like networked with other people or professionals in the field I would like to go into. So I've had some email like chats and Zoom calls with them and bouncing ideas off them. And then they'll also critique things and give you tips and pointers. So it's nice. Yeah. I think it's crucial too, because it'll help with networking and professional development.
Absolutely. And I think what's really cool about Samantha being nominated is that there goes my dog with something going on. She is also, Samantha is, she's a motivational speaker and an author. I know she has a book coming out, and she was just nominated for Indy's Best and Brightest. Yeah, through Junior Achievement. So
that is such a wonderful feeling. I was one of the Indy Best and Brightest. You're like, what? How? You know, so that's but the energy in that room. And so, you know, Samantha, if you're listening, please, you know, take it all in that night, because I don't know if they're going to do it on Zoom or what it'll look like, you know, in this new virtual environment, but it is, there's so many people that become, you know, I always say that class, you know, so the 2021 class of Indy's Best and Brightest, you know, connect with those folks, because there's a reason for that nomination, and make sure that you hone in on that too.
Oh, that's great advice. Well, I'm going to let her know she was nominated, so she will hear your words.
Okay.
And I am just grateful that Samantha is someone that takes care in our community.
Yes.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I think I talked over you.
That's important to care for the community, because we're only as good as the community in which we serve.
Absolutely. And that's a great segue to close out our interview with you giving all your info. I think our listeners will want to know how to find Engaging Solutions.
Okay.
And then I go ahead.
See, this is my listening skills. Go.
Okay, let's do Engaging Solutions first. How do people find you there? Website?
Yes, website, www.engagingsolutions.net. That's the where to go to find us. We also are on social media as well, both Instagram and Facebook.
Perfect. And then if they want to listen to the podcast or join your Zoom for the sermon.
Yes. If you want to listen to the podcast, then you're just going to go to podbean.com, and it is Tammy Renee Butler, and you'll be able to find me that way.
Okay. And then Zoom, do you need to get invited or join a mailing list or something? Well,
Zoom, it's a link for Zoom that we send out. But if you send me an email, Tammy@engagingsolutions.net, and let me know that you're interested, then I will add you to our mailing list so that you can get all of the links and updates of everything that we have going on. So,
okay. Yeah. Or you could, always DM you on your Instagram account to get added. Yeah, that could work.
We have a website. I forgot. I'm sorry. So we hogindy.org. So go to hogindy.org. You can there's an email there for our through our church, and it'll go right to the people that will be able to filter it. So go to hogindy.org, and then there's also a phone number that's there on the website and everything. So hogindy.org.
Okay, terrific. And I'll share these in the on the website too for all of you who maybe didn't have a pen and pencil. So, but Tammy, it was so good to see your face. Yes.
You too. Thank you so much.
And
I'm gonna get that over to you also, Sawyer.
Okay. Thanks, Tammy.
Thank you. Have a great one.
I just want to thank Sawyer Benj, our producer, and our show sponsors, Selflessly In Charge. If you'd like to nominate someone for Taking Care in Community, you can visit our website, takingcareinbusiness.com, or email us at info@takingcareinbusiness.com. Don't forget to subscribe, follow, or download Taking Care in Business wherever you get your podcasts. If you love Taking Care in Business, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review, or share this episode on your social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Taking Care in Biz. That's Taking Care in Biz, B-I-Z. If you have questions or comments, you can also email us at info@takingcareinbusiness.com. Thank you for joining us today. Thanks to our sponsors, Selflessly In Charge. And until next time, take care in business.